Welcome to Slimmer World Podcast. We are delighted to have you as our company today. And we're continuing a bit of a theme, actually. We're on a bit of a roll now. This is the third week, or third episode on our public feed that we are choosing to have a guest, because the feedback says that you are loving hearing other members' stories. So today, we have a title winner for what is a brand new award. Anna of the Mangan, can you explain what this award is for those who do not know?
So this is the first year of the Icon Award, and it is an incredible award to be really inclusive. And we love celebrating people in group who have shown that pizzazz, that determination, that kind of excitement for food optimizing. So we have two new icons. It replaced what was a couple of Miss Slinky and Mr. Sleek. Oh, look, I confused my awards there, haven't I? They all merged into one in my head. So it's the first year that we've got these two brand new icons. So we held competitions all across the nation in our groups, and these two have just been crowned very recently.
Brilliant. Okay, shall we meet them? Okay, well, we love their stories so much, we've decided to do two episodes, an episode each. But today we're joined by Nick. How are you, Nick? You're in sunny Surrey. Are things glorious where you are?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, it's been a lovely sunny day today.
Good, good. Now, how are you handling being a title winner, a national title winner? How's that landing?
Yeah, no, really good. And yeah, I mean, what a title to have. If, you know, of all the things I've been called in my life, being an icon's as good as it gets, I think.
Yeah. How did you find out that you'd won? Take us to the day when you got that call, or is it your consultant that tells you? I don't actually know the process.
Yeah, it was much to her excitement. It was Claire, my consultant, who got to give me the call to let me know. And once a voice would come down within a range that I could understand what she was saying, she managed to get the message across that, yeah, I was one of the two winners of the National Icon.
Amazing. So cool. I love those moments because, you know, the journey that you've been on really since 2019, since your son Oscar was born, has just been one of like a whole U-turn, really. And I understand you joined Slimming World with four friends.
Yeah.
So what was the conversations that were happening in those early days to get you all to bust through the doors of Claire's group?
So, yeah, we all sort of live next to each other. We're all neighbours and we're all best friends, all similar age group. Kids are all the same age. So, you know, our whole social circle has always been sort of inclusive of everything we do together, which includes all the jovialities of eating and drinking along with that as well. But we'd all sort of come to the same point of realisation that we're all getting a lot heavier than we should be. We're all sort of struggling with our weight, and we're all sort of getting to that age where losing the weight wasn't as easy as it used to be. And yeah, it was just a combination what all sort of fell at the right time for all of us. A couple of us had been to the GPs for various bits. I'd been to the GP myself for various tests, and sort of, you know, had some sort of eye-opening conversations with the GP. And I think it was just sort of over one of our usual sort of Friday night get-togethers that we were talking about what we could do to support each other and how we could explore sort of going on that journey together as a team. And yeah, Slimming World sort of come into the conversation. Yeah, so we looked up what group sort of worked best for us geographically and sort of time scale, time wise and stuff. And yeah, that's when we ended up going to Woodhatch Wednesday.
I love that. But you know what you said about a team, like that group of people trying to do the same thing together, that support system must have been incredible for you.
Yeah, in the early days, I mean, well, even now, but yeah, certainly in the early days, because it's all sort of the unknown, isn't it? You know, everyone always sort of talks about that unknown when you walk into a group for the first time. No one really knows what to expect, and as a bloke, you sort of have these preconceptions around what Slimming World may be and may look like. So to go with the group of five of us was great to have that support there. just to sort of get that first foot in the door. But we had various WhatsApp groups all set up with, what we was eating, what we were doing body magic wise. A few of us had joined the gym, so are doing that together as well. And yeah, it's just encouragement the whole way through around, especially sort of on the early days, sort of understanding it and sort of knowing how it fits in with our lifestyle. Also sharing recipes and photos of our various concoctions that we'd made up for dinners and what we were taking to work for lunch.
That's so cool. It's great when you find that camaraderie, isn't it? Because so many people struggle through their weight loss journey on their own, sometimes even not telling people about it, slimming in secret, perhaps, as if there's some kind of shame that they have to feel because they got themselves in this state. We've heard of these stories so many times. So I think it really shows that the community sense, I think, that you can get in really just re-educating yourself about, okay, how else can I live? How else can I move? How else can I eat? I mean, you mentioned there about the conversation you'd had with your GP. And on our last public episode, we spoke with Mariana, who's a member and a consultant. Mariana went for her health check at 40. And that was when she received the message that she was a heart attack waiting to happen. What was the conversation that you had with your GP at that time?
So I've got various sort of health conditions. I've had asthma the whole of my life, but also sleep apnea as well. And because of the various bits and pieces I had going on, they sort of suggested it was good time to do sort of a general MOT just to sort of see where I was with everything. And that's when they'd done some blood tests and they sort of come back through the roof. Through the roof is an understatement on what my cholesterol was. Through the roof, keep going. And through the stratosphere, it was ridiculously high. Yeah, so pre-diabetic as well, and various other factors sort of were all not where they should be. And yeah, this sort of conversation was you need to do something around your weight now, if you want to sort of prolong your life and enjoy that time with your family.
It's terrifying hearing that kind of news, though, isn't it? It's something because we're a very similar age. It's like you don't feel you're at that age where you should be hearing things like that.
No.
How did you take that information and then decide to do something with it? Because I know I meet many people who that information doesn't sit well with, and they take a while to kind of process that before they do something. Were you like, no?
Yeah, I knew anyway. Over the years, I've always struggled with my weight. But when I was younger, it was sort of easier to sort of drop it off. But through the various fad diets and everything else I've done over the years, it was always easy to drop off, but it always sort of come back plus some. But the older I got, the harder it was to sort of stick with any sort of diet plan or see any sort of improvement. But I'd always sort of kidded myself that I was just destined to be a big chap, and that was me genetically. I must have low metabolism, and that was it. Whatever I eat, I'm always going to end up the same size. But in my heart of hearts, I knew that I was overweight. And I had to do something about it, but I needed that sort of confirmation from the doctor to tell me, because then it was just a case of, well, you can't kid yourself anymore. It's there in front of you now. You've got to do something about it.
That wake up call, isn't it?
You obviously had become a dad around that time as well, with your son Oscar. You've got Josh as well, who's a bit older. But what was it? I think you also mentioned like the term active dad. You wanted to be an active dad when I read up on your story. What does like an active dad, what does that term mean to you? What would that look like?
I don't think you realize what just general parenting is as a active sport. It's in my head, I'd always sort of, when we found out we was pregnant and we were gonna be having a child, I'd said to myself, now's the time to sort of start thinking about doing something, because I want to be able to run around after him. I want to be the dad what gets involved in sports days and encourages him to sort of step out of his comfort zones and explore all these different things. But time sort of started rolling on as it does, and because a couple of years down the line, sort of nothing was happening. A few years down the line, nothing was happening, and then it got to the point where you realize that it's not just being able to run around a playground or a field kicking a ball. Just the general day-to-day parenting is a bit of a adrenaline sport, really.
It's
No.
not the faint-hearted, is it? But you don't realize actually it's the stamina you need. I was shocked by this when I became a parent. Like, it is physically and mentally so exhausting. You need to be at your prime, don't you, to be able to deal with it. You really, really do. Now, I'm all about food, Nick. So talk to us about how your food has transformed, because I think we've met so many people recently who are so passionate about food optimizing and what they eat and the changes they've made. How different is your food intake now to how it was when you first joined?
A lot of my downfalls with food, I mean, for a long time I've had sort of an unhealthy relationship with food on all or nothing. But that wasn't in the home environment. In the home environment, we've always eaten really well. Vegetables, salads, lean meats, fish, everything's made from scratch, no processed foods. The work I've done over the last sort of 25 years in my job has sort of meant a lot of shift work, a lot of work outside, out and about all day. And that's when it becomes too easy not to make any plans. So I wake up in the morning, I don't have anything for breakfast. Get to about 10 o'clock and then might hit the caff, have a couple of sandwiches. That doesn't fill me up for very long. You sort of do the meal deals, and it was just how much change have I got in my pocket? What's the most amount of food I can get for the spare change I've got in my pocket? I've got a quid. What can I buy for a quid? Packet of donuts, that'll do. That'll fill me up. It was that kind of relationship with food when I was out and about. And as well, being a bit of a secret eater at home as well, when people are out and about and I'm at home and alone, got a little shop over the road, take a walk over to the shop, buy some chocolate, buy some crisps and biscuits and whatever else it may be, eat those, get rid of the rubbish, hide the evidence, I don't know what's happening. I'm only eating lean meats and vegetables, and I don't know what's going wrong, but so it was just sort of taking ownership of that and making those changes. So the biggest changes was for me was just around preparation. Getting up in time in the morning to have a decent breakfast, a healthy breakfast. And either the night before or that morning, making something I can take to work with me, and having healthy snacks with me sort of to fill me up during the day. So I'm not finding myself standing in a petrol station, counting the change in my pocket, buying yum
Yeah, it's so easily done.
yums.
You know what? Yeah, and it takes so much courage. I was a real secret eater to admit that, though, doesn't it? Like, my husband, I'll never forget him saying to me, "Anna, you're rustling." I was like, "What?" And I remember walking up the stairs with a packet of biscuits up my arm, like he judged me. And he's like, "You're rustling." And I was like, "No, I'm not." But I couldn't admit to him or to me what I was doing when he wasn't around. And that takes a lot of courage. I mean, you must be really proud of yourself being able to admit that and have overcome that.
It's something what I can sort of admit and look at now, because it's behavior of an addict, isn't it? These sort of things. And I can look back at it and not laugh about it now, because it is a sort of a serious thing, but you've got to be able to look at it lightheartedly, because there was things I was doing which was just crazy. Well, my wife loves a Toblerone, and she's one of these people what can have a Toblerone in the house and it will be there for a year until she decides she wants a bit. And then she might have a bit, and then she'll get through the Toblerone within sort of a couple of months. Whereas I'm the first night it's in the house, it's gone. But so she'd have like boxes of celebrations or something at Easter, what someone would buy her. But the shop over the road sell the same boxes. So I knew that when she was out, I could eat the box of celebrations, then go over the road, buy another box and replace it.
Oh
So it
no,
was always
gosh.
there. And then one day it wasn't there, and she was like, "Where's my box of celebrations gone?" And then, sort of had to put my hands up and admit, say, "Well, actually, I did eat it, but actually, I haven't just eaten the one box. I've already replaced it 5 times."
Wow.
So,
Oh, totally get that. Oh, do you know
Did that
what?
with a
It's
jar of lotus spread many
did you?
times with a flatmate.
Did you? I've done it with those multi packs at Christmas. What are they called? Like, the packs that you get for kids. I ate 16 of them, so I totally get that, Nick.
Wow.
Yeah, but literally just replacing it. It's all right, I buy another one. And it's
Yeah.
that behavior and that mentality with food that's so hard to break. But it sounds like you made some swaps. So you weren't going hungry, you weren't going without. It was just different food that I guess didn't make you crave it in the way the celebrations and the Toblerone maybe did.
Yeah, again, I didn't, it's almost I mean it's routine and it is addictive in a way when you're eating these foods because it does get to a point where all of a sudden you realize that you're not thinking about them, you're not missing them because you've gone through that process and you haven't had them for so long. Fast food when you're out on the road is just such an easy option. But you find yourself snowballing. The more you get it, the more you want it, the more you want it, the more you get it. And it is almost sort of doing that cold turkey approach and stopping it, but you are replacing it, so you're getting filled up and you're not eating it. But then you do find the cravings just disappear as well. I don't crave those sort of foods anymore. Whereas before, I couldn't drive past a petrol station or a McDonald's without finding myself sort of saying, "Oh, I'll just pop in there quickly on the way past."
That must be so freeing now, like that you're just free from that
I've certainly got a lot
pattern.
more change in my pocket nowadays.
That's what I was thinking. I know your little boys are robbing it from you, but it's fine. It's such a liberating feeling, is it? So, are you someone who likes to cook, or are you more about that kind of convenience way of food optimizing? Because there's many different ways within the same umbrella. What's your kind of
Both, yeah, I do like cooking, and I'm sort of quite adventurous with my cooking, but I am a very messy cook. I'm one of these people who will use absolutely every utensil, pot, pan, knife, fork, spoon, and plastic, whatever we've got in the kitchen, and it does look like a bomb site every time I go in there just to do beans on toast. So for that reason, my wife Kerry tends to do most of the cooking, just because it causes less friction with untidy kitchens. I do enjoy cooking, but Kerry's a great cook, so she does tend to do most of it. The convenience side of it, I do still go into a petrol station with my job. I do find myself, because I can't plan everything all the time, and I do find myself having to go somewhere which I wasn't planning on going, or doing something I wasn't planning on doing, or changing plans last minute. So I do get caught out sometimes. But being able to go into a petrol station and pick something up with the app and just scan it and go, "Well, actually, I thought that was going to be really good," because it says it's got hummus or falafel or something in it, whereas it's, 25 sins. But the bowl of pasta salad next to it, I can pick that up, scan it, and it's six sins, seven sins. So I still do the convenience side of it a lot. Probably more now that I'm at Target than I was on my weight loss journey. I was doing a lot more meal prep on my weight loss journey, but now I'm at Target, I do explore the convenience side of it, but being a lot more aware of what I'm eating and using the app and everything to back that side of it up.
Do you know like the hot spots? Like I know on the M6 where I can get a good, salad, where I know there's like a good spot, an M&S, a
Yeah.
Waitrose. Do you find like those pull-ins that you
I know the motorway services very
go?
well,
Yes.
yeah.
Oh, but that's so good, isn't it? Because actually you're doing the same job, but you're just doing different things, which has allowed you to still have that convenience, which is where people worry, don't they, when they're embarking on a weight loss journey, that everything's got to change. And I think when we meet people like you, it's exploring that the way you food optimize is probably very different to the way I food optimize, but we're doing the same plan. That must be quite a
Yeah.
reassuring feeling to know that you can still continue doing what you were doing before and keep your weight off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean that's the good thing about it is, that there's so much food to explore, so much. If you want to be adventurous and try all the recipes and go through the cookbooks and the app, it's all there. And the part of the app I like is Kerry will be like, "Can you cook something for dinner?" I can open the cupboard, type in one thing in the recipe thing, and then I'll open it up, have a look at that recipe, and we'll go, "Actually, I've got that, and that. So let's make that." But I also love the fact of, "Oh, I've come out. I don't know what I'm going to get. Let's use the app and see what convenient food I can get, whilst I'm out and about." So it works well for me, sort of the way I do it.
Yeah, just knowledge, isn't it? It's just like having that reassurance there. I mean, There's obviously clearly like massive changes physically, even just seeing the photos. You're talking about the energy that you have, the way that you're able to just, manage your working. I'm also curious, like, what difference losing 6 stone has on, say, mental health as well. How has that impacted you?
Yeah, massively, massively. The weight loss side of it certainly gives you such a boost in confidence because your appearance totally changes. You find your interactions and the way you're interacting totally changes. But the body magic side of it as well, doing the exercise is just, such a such a positive on your mental health.
Yeah. So are you doing classes or you're working out on your own? How are you approaching it? Is it different to how you've done it previously?
So yeah, like I said, with the five of us who joined, three of us joined the gym together. Over the last few months, life's got in the way a bit of around schedules, but we were going down the gym together regularly. With school drop-offs and animals and stuff at the moment, getting timings right for the gym is a bit trickier. But certainly in the early days, when I started going on my own, I was doing a lot of the classes, which just sort of blew my mind that before I was getting out of breath going up the stairs or putting my socks on, would make me puff and pant. And then I was finding myself doing a 45-minute spin class, which, was just absolute crazy in comparison to what I've ever done before.
In your job as a mechanic, I'm just thinking about watching having a tire changed and jacking up a car. Like, physically, that's a demanding role. Do you feel like that's got easier as you've lost the weight and got fitter?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time. So yeah, I've been a mechanic from school, and that was sort of probably when my weight started to sort of really pile on because I had the money in my pocket to buy what I wanted, and there was again a cafe over the road, McDonald's up the road. But yeah, physically it is a hard job. In the workshops, it's hard, and roadside, it's hard. My job itself sort of changed about 7 years ago, whereas I sort of manage a team now, and it was sort of a bit of a hybrid role where I was still sort of working roadside, but that was getting harder and harder and harder. And like I said on previous interviews and things, there was times where I'd sort of lay under a car and sort of scoot under a car to have a look at a problem, and then find getting back out from under the car was a bit of a problem. And there's times where you sort of putting yourself in all kinds of positions, bending up in sort of footwells and trying to find rattles and noises. And yeah, size was becoming an issue. And doing this job roadside in the summer, the heat whilst you're doing, even like say something like a wheel change, when you're doing a wheel change on one of these sort of bigger 4x4s, those wheels are pretty hefty. And when the sun's blasting down, it yeah, it makes you sweat.
Yeah.
And it does. I can barely fill up my tire with air without getting sweat on. Do you know what I mean? But it just goes to show, like, actually, something you maybe hadn't recognized at the time was becoming much more difficult is now something you can do with ease, which is brilliant to hear.
Yeah, like when you're sort of living it, you don't realize the impact, and you just assume that that's the way life is and life's hard. And the same with, like we were saying, with the mental health side of it, I didn't realize at the time. A lot of people sort of said, is there a positive impact on your mental health? Was your mental health impacted during the times of when you was overweight? And it certainly was, but you don't realize how much until you're out the other side of it, and you look back and you think, wow, yeah, now actually there were some really sort of pretty dark times. But again, at the time, you don't sort of pick up on it so much. Other people will sort of comment and say, oh, when you sort of are lighter and you do lose weight, you are a different person. And it's only once you sort of got out the other side of it and you've had that prolonged experience. It's the longest I've been now at this weight, because I've been down to target for 6 months now. And yeah, it's only sort of once you've had that period of time and that time of reflection, you can look back and realize that, yeah, there was some pretty rough times during those years.
Yeah. How is life at Target going?
Yeah, really good. Yeah,
Oh, look how
everything's.
your face lit up then. That was a lovely
Yeah,
thing to see.
I
Like,
know. Everything's shiny. That's what I like to say. Yeah, no, it's really good.
must be nice to have that consistency. As someone who also did quite a lot of fad diets before I've kept this weight off.
Yeah, I've done every diet going, every diet. and a baby food diet as well at one point, which was just crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
But now you just found this happy medium, this range that you can just stay in. That also must be quite freeing as well, that you don't have to be worrying about the number on the scales all the time. You've just found that groove now of what you need to do.
Yes, it gets easier and easier because you become aware of what sort of body magic you're doing. And when I first started swimming, well, there was people in group, and I can't express that, what benefit group has given me. But there's people in group who had been target members for a sort of prolonged period of time. One woman who used to come in, or still does come in, every week and consistently be at target. Slight fluctuations, sort of 1 or 2 pound either side, but generally speaking, maintain, maintain, maintain. And I sort of said to her, "How do you do it? Are you weighing yourself constantly?" Because literally, when I started, I was weighing myself twice a day, in the mornings, in the evenings. And she said, "No, I haven't even got a set of scales at home. I just weigh once a week." And I said, "Well, you have seen the Matrix. How can you do this? This is something I can never see me getting to that level of being able to weigh myself once a week, and just be aware of, what I'm consuming and the effects it's having."
And you know what? Are you there? Are you close to being at that place?
I'm not quite at the Matrix level yet, but I'm certainly close to it. It's become a lot. It's never been hard work to stick to, which is the good thing about it all. But the level of awareness has increased. So yeah.
And trusting yourself that you are capable of staying there, I think, is a very interesting dynamic, because you have to learn to trust your new behavior, don't you? And when you've been overweight, like I was for so long, and like you were saying, you've almost learned a pattern of behavior. So to trust this new behavior takes a little bit of time. But you're 6 months in. Before you know it, you're going to be like 6 years in, just like, yes, I've only weighed once in 3 months or something like that. So
And I'll still be going to group every week as well.
yeah.
So cool.
What is it that you get from group?
Everything. It's like I say, the preconceptions of group were just totally opposite to actually what it was. I'm very lucky. Our group, each and every person in that group is just fantastic. We've made some really good friends, and the levels of support is great. But it gives me that accountability to myself as well. At the moment, I certainly feel that I need that, and I will continue to do that. If I still weigh every week at the moment, encouraging everyone else on their journey and being part of everyone's journey is just such a positive experience. It's really sort of life affirming. Yeah, you make such good friends there, and the support and knowledge that you get, and just the silly things someone will say, and you think, "Oh, I never thought about it that way," or, "I didn't even consider that." And then you sort of you can go home and sort of introduce those bits into how you're doing it as well. So, yeah, group is brilliant for me. I love it, and yeah, I'm privileged enough to be on the social team, so I get to lead the weigh station each week as well, and just yeah, seeing those same faces every week go through their journey and being able to sort of be part of that is great.
Love that. If I ever need a way man, I'll give you a little shout. We're not too far away.
It seems like you've
That's
just
it.
learned so much. You've learned about yourself, you've developed closer relationships with your friends, with your family. You're living this life that you have always wanted to. You've got better relationship with people who live in your neighborhood, be that your Slimming World community. I mean, like, what a journey of growth. I mean, where does this continue, or are you at peak Nick now? Is there more to come? Is there another like hidden
Who
Himalayas?
knows? I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of things now physically that I want to do what I've wouldn't have considered before. There's a lot more exercise-based things. I'm doing Race for Life when that comes up this year. And yeah, again, the thought of doing 5K before, I couldn't do 5 meters without getting out of breath. So 5K now is just crazy. At some point, I want to throw myself out of an aeroplane as well. Something I've always wanted to be doing, but again, never been the weight to be able to do it. So yeah, there's lots of potentials there, but at the moment it's just enjoying the now, enjoying the present, being present in the present and enjoying it.
Yeah, watch this space.
And not making the kitchen messy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've just got visions of you in the kitchen, like my husband, using 47 knives and forks to make beans on toast. Yeah.
At least.
At least. Are you one of those people that uses a tea towel to like just wipe up little bits as well? Instead of just like a kitchen roll or the actual clean, you use tea towels? Is that you? I mean.
No, I probably would use kitchen roll, but then also use a cloth and probably a
A tea
tea towel
towel.
at some point as well. Yeah, I'd go through everything what was available, basically.
Yeah, Phil just used the oven glove, if I'm honest, to mop up.
Yeah,
Right.
my sleeve.
We'll
Yeah,
not invite you on our
exactly.
next film session of Slimming World Kitchen then. Right, Nick, it's been awesome to meet you. Enjoy
Has
your
been a pleasure.
title reign. Hope you get to enjoy all the balls, all the photo shoots, and all the exciting things that come up. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we are going to meet the other half of the title winner, Jess, the other Slimming World icon, in our next public podcast. So stay tuned for that. What else have we got coming? Sure, try and find out what our members episode is. Next week, we're talking sexy feasts. I'm just going to leave that there because I don't think we need to kind of tell
That
you
could mean
what that means.
anything.
If you're a member, that will lure you in. Sexy feasts. That's all I'm saying.
Or made them run away. Yeah.
We were fully closed when we recorded that podcast. That's all I'm gonna say. Have a great week, whatever you get up to. Enjoy your food, enjoy life, be well. See you soon.
Bye for now.
I didn't think you were gonna say it. Where's my stop button? I've lost my mouse.
You have to say it. I have to always say it.